Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. The circumstances of last year have left many people searching for the peace and assurance you and I know can only be found in God's Word. That's why I'm excited to share that we have a $50,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give today. This is a great opportunity to reach twice as many people with the certain hope of Jesus. Together, we can take the Word of God to people in need around the world through Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Escaping the People-Pleaser Trap.
So what I want to do right now, in the last couple minutes, I'm going to give you six truths that will set you free. These six truths, you need to memorize them. You need to burn them into your mind so that when you are in those high-pressure situations and you're starting to let other people control you and you want to say yes when they want you to say no, or you want to say no when they want you to say yes, you can call these six Bible truths to mind and they will be an antidote to approval addiction. Okay, let's just write them down and see quickly what the Bible says about them. Number one, first thing I need to remember, even God can't please everybody. All right? Even God can't please everybody. Right now, there are people praying for different teams to win at a sport. Half of those people are going to be disappointed in the game. Right now, some people are praying for it to rain, and some people are praying for it to be sunny. Half of those people are going to be disappointed. Even God can't please everybody. Now, only a fool would try to do what God can't do. You think you're God? You think you can please everybody? There's no way. Going through life, most of the people in this world are going to disapprove of you. Accept it. Going through life, you cannot please everybody. Even God cannot do that. In fact, Jesus said it like this: woe to you when all men speak well of you. What does woe mean? Whoa. Whoa means bad news. If everybody likes you, it means you stand for nothing. It means you're a chameleon. You're a cop-out. You're a wimp. You're wishy-washy. If everybody likes you, you have no conviction. You have no beliefs. Because the moment you take a stand, somebody's going to start throwing rocks at you. Jesus says, woe when all men speak well of you. Now, let me tell you something. Not a time in your life are all men going to speak well of you, except at your funeral. That's the only time you only hear good stuff about people, at a funeral. But until you get to your funeral, people are going to not speak well of you. Even God can't please everybody. Number two, I don't need anyone's approval to be happy. I don't need it. Not only can I not get it, I don't need it. You don't need everyone's approval to be happy. Why? You've heard me say this so many times. Happiness is a choice. You are as happy as you choose to be. What other people think of you has no relationship to your happiness unless you choose to let them manipulate you. You don't need other people's approval to be happy. Happiness is a choice. If I think I can only be happy if they like me, you're not going to be happy. Now, let me give you some facts of life that the Bible teaches. You can't please everybody. You don't have to please everybody. God doesn't expect you to please everybody. You don't need everybody's approval to be happy. No matter what you do, somebody's going to disagree with you, and disapproval doesn't have to ruin your happiness. You know, you think about the most popular people in America, half the nation doesn't like them. How does a person get elected president? You don't even have to have a majority. When President Clinton was elected, you remember Ross Perot? When Ross Perot ran, and it was Clinton and those guys all ran at the same time, and Clinton won, he won both of his elections with less than 50%. So most of the people in the nation did not vote for him as president. And no matter the moment you become a leader or anything, half the people aren't going to like you. So you're never going to get it. But here's the point. Some of you have spent all of your life trying in your mind to please an unpleasable person, probably a parent. And you wanted to show them wrong. And then your dad or your mom said, you're never going to amount to anything. You're worthless. Why can't you be like your brother? Blah, 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 and all these things. And you, in your mind, thought, I am going to earn their approval. And you have tried and you have tried and you have tried and tried to win that person's approval, that unpleasable, and you haven't got it. Now, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for the pain you've been in. But let me just tell you something. It's a self-inflicted prison. That person that you've been trying to get their approval all your life and you haven't got it yet, guess what? You ain't gonna get it. If you haven't got it by now, you're not gonna ever get it. But let me say something more important than that. It's not about you. It's not your fault. It's not saying anything about you. The problem is their problem. They are unpleasable. And when you got C's on your report card, they expected B's. And when you got B's, they expected A's. You got an A, they wanted straight A's. And they were always unpleasable. That's their problem. It's not your problem. If you haven't got their approval by now, you're not going to get it. Some of you are 50, 60 years old, still trying to get somebody's approval. You're not going to get it, but the better news is this. You don't need it. You don't need it to be happy. You don't need their approval. Let it go. I don't need the approval of other people to be happy. What I need to do is learn the attitude of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Look on your outline, John 5:41. Your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. Now, Kurt already mentioned it. The bigger God is in your life, the smaller people are in your life. The bigger you make people in your life, the smaller God is. If God is big in your life, when Jesus is number one in your life, he sets you free from the approval addiction because you're just focused on him. Jesus sets us free from a lot of things. He said, the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. He sets us free from the pain of bitterness. He sets us free from the burden of guilt. He sets us free from the fear of death. There are a lot of things Jesus set us free from. But one of them he sets us free from is the expectations of others. And wow, when you're set free from the expectations of others, you can be who your Creator made you to be, not what everybody else is trying to mold you and make you to be. Now, let me be real honest. I want you to listen to me on this. If you are looking to any human being to meet all your needs, you're going to be severely disappointed because nobody can do that. Only God can meet all your needs. If you are looking, let me say it another way, to any human being to keep you happy, you're going to be unhappy most of your life because they're going to disappoint you. Human love runs out. Human people disappoint you. So you better put your happiness in somebody and something that cannot be taken from you, and that is your relationship to Jesus Christ. You need to look to God. Isaiah 51, verse 12 says this. God says, I am the one. He says, I am the one who comforts you. I'm the one who meets your emotional needs. Not all these other people. I'm the one who comforts you. So why are you afraid of mere humans who wither like grass and disappear? In other words, they grow old, they die, they move off, they divorce, there's death, there's all these kind of things. He goes, I'm the one to meet all your emotional needs. Why are you looking to everybody else to do things in your life that only I can do? First, if you look to somebody else to meet all your needs, it's unfair to them and it's disappointing to you. The one thing about God is this. He has promised to never, never reject his children. Okay. Other people may reject you. If you're a child of God, you've put your faith in Christ, you're in the family of God, God says, I will never, never reject you. Because his love for you is unconditional. In fact, this is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Psalm 27:10 on your outline. Even if my father and mother abandon me, they reject me. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. I can count on that. So I don't need everybody's approval to be happy. Number three, third thing I need to remember, third truth. What seems so important now is only temporary. What seems so important now is only temporary. The reason you become a people pleaser is because you put more emphasis in here and now than in eternity. When you have short-term thinking instead of long-term thinking, you're going to get messed up in this. What seems so important now is only temporary. The things that you think are real important right now, a week from today, aren't going to matter as much. And a month from today, the stuff that you feel pressured by is usually temporary. Let me give you an example. If I were to ask you, name the five most important things to you when you were in high school. Will Bobby like me? Am I going to get invited to that party on Friday night? Am I going to have a date to the prom? Will we win that game? Will I pass this test? 5 years later, how much does that matter to you? None of them matter. None of them matter 5 years later. They just don't matter at all. Yet they seem so important. Let me tell you what maturity is. Maturity is when you realize everything I think is important isn't. And everything that I think isn't important is. That's maturity. Maturity is learning that all the things you thought were important really weren't that important. Who gets elected to the pep squad? Who cares? Really. You know, if some of you have gone back to like a high school reunion and you realize that for some people, they peaked their senior year. And they're still talking about that catch they made. You gotta be kidding me. Okay? I mean, it's like their life is downhill since high school. I've actually found that it is the late bloomers, the people who nobody knew about in high school, are the people who do things with their lives, like Bill Gates. It's not, you don't want to peak too soon in life. Does that make sense? Some of you are saying, I'm still waiting to peak. Well, hang around Saddleback Church and I'll help you out, okay? The best days, the best of your life is the rest of your life. So what seems so important now really is only temporary. 1 John 2:12 says this, the world and everything in it that people desire is passing away. But those who do the will of God will live forever. Now notice, he's comparing short-term thinking and long-term eternal perspective. And he says short-term thinking leads to people-pleasing, because all the stuff I think is important, it isn't. And eternal perspective leads to freedom. It's what are you focusing on? Now, let me tell you why this is a problem. Because today we have a 24-hour news cycle. And 24-hour news makes it appear that everything that happens is important. If you turn on the news, everything that happens, it's not. Nothing is more worthless than yesterday's newspaper. You don't even read it. Why? Because it's that. Then why was it important yesterday? Because it's not.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Okay, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or that relative you see at every family get-together, a crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why you need the You Make Me Crazy study kit. In it, Pastor Rick Warren brings sanity to your relationships so you can do more than just coexist and survive. You can thrive. In this powerful DVD series, Rick shows us how to be wise in relationships, how to recognize who's pushing your buttons, how to resolve conflict, how to break free from abuse, how to escape the people-pleaser trap, and how to keep crazy makers from driving you crazy. The You Make Me Crazy Study Kit is perfect for you, your family, or small group. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own copy of the You Make Me Crazy 6-Session DVD and Workbook Study Kit. Today is the last day to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. You can go to PastorRick.com or just text the word daily to 800-600-5004 to get yours. By the way, a generous listener has offered to match any financial gifts this month up to $50,000. So please, contact us today. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or you can text the word daily to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
You know, years ago, somebody did a prank at Christmas time in Walmart. Some people went in on the day, on Christmas Eve day, and they switched all the price tags around. And Christmas shoppers went into Walmart, and stuff that was supposed to cost $100 were now 2 cents. And stuff that was supposed to, you know, be $1.95 was now $500. People got very confused, very angry, very upset because the price tags had been switched. I want to tell you something. Satan has switched the price tags in life. And the stuff that the world says is important isn't. It's a con job. And the stuff that is important, you don't really realize it. And one of the things you got to do, if you're trying to focus on short-term things, you're going to try to please people. Jesus said this in Luke 16, verse 15, the second half of the verse. The things that are highly valued by people are worth nothing in God's sight. Well, now think about that. The things that are highly valued by people are worth nothing in God's sight. What do people value most today? I'll tell you, here's what they value most today. Success, wealth, and fame. That's what people value most today. Success, wealth, and fame. What's that going to matter after you die? None. Nothing. In eternity, it's not going to matter at all. How well known you were, how much money you had, how much you accomplished. What's going to matter is the kind of person you became while you were here on earth alive. Your character. Because you're not taking your resume with you to heaven. You're not taking your wealth with you to heaven. You're not taking any of that stuff with you. That's stuff that people spend their entire lives trying to get, and they're going to leave it all here. Now, let me tell you particularly, this issue of trying to be popular or trying to be famous or trying to be well-known, it's not all cracked up as you think it is. Fame is not nearly as big a deal. I've had a little bit of this. Okay, I've you know, been on TV a few times and things like that, and I want to tell you what, it's just not that big deal. Fame is not worth it. People want to be famous. You know what's strange? Hollywood people work their entire lives to become well-known so everybody knows my name, and then as soon as everybody knows their name, they put on dark glasses and hide. Why? They realize, I don't really want everybody to know my name. It's a pain in the posterior. Okay. So you get it, and then all these famous people, they get their fame, and then what do? They try to hide from the people who know their name. Because they realize, well, that wasn't worth it. It didn't make any difference. And when you get sick, and when you got a loved one dying, all your fans really doesn't matter. What you need is just a couple of really good, close friends. Number four. The fourth thing I need to remember is I only have to please one person. Really, in life, I only have to please one person, and that is my Creator, my God, my Savior. I only have to please the Lord, the one who made me and had a purpose for my life. And that simplifies life enormously. You want to learn to live for an audience of one. You only need one person's approval, God's approval. Jesus said it like this in John 5:30. I don't try to please myself, but I only please the one who sent me. He said, I'm living for an audience of one. You may have not ever realized this, but one of the pastors alluded to it. People-pleasing is a form of idolatry. Now, the first two commandments in the Ten Commandments are, number one, don't have any gods before me. Anything you put before God becomes a god. So a boat could be a god. A career could be a god. A girlfriend could be a god. Golf could be a god. Anything that comes number one in your life that isn't God becomes your god. And number two is don't make any idols. Anything that replaces God in your life is an idol. Success can be an idol. Money can be an idol. Sex can be an idol. A relationship can become an idol. If that relationship to your girlfriend, to your wife, to your boss, to your friend is more important than God, it's an idol and it's a god. And when I am a people pleaser, I have allowed something else in my life to take first place. Does that make sense? And all of a sudden it becomes God in my life because their opinion matters to me more than God's opinion. What they think of me matters. I don't want to tell them I'm a Christian because they might think less of me. Then you're saying their opinion is more important than God's opinion. I don't want to let them know that I go to church because they might not like me. Then their opinion matters more than God's opinion. At that point, you have another god in your life. You have an idol. I only have to please one person. Paul says in Galatians 1:10, I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No. I'm trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. Remember, I only have to please one person. Number five, remember this. This is a fifth truth. One day, I'll give an account of my life. Boy, do I need to remember that one. That's a people pleaser antidote. One day, I will give an account of my life. The Bible says in Romans 14:12, yes, each of us will have to give a personal account to God. Now, when you remember that, you have that long-term thinking, it's going to change what you say, what you do, and who you try to impress. Because in a situation where you got a point here, am I going to please God in this situation or am I going to please this person? Do I want God's approval or do I want this person's approval? Do I want God disapproving of what I just said, did, or whatever? Or do I want this person disapproving of what I just said and did? When you take that long look and realize, I'm going to give an account today for every word I say, it's going to change. It's going to give you confidence. It's going to give you courage. It's going to give you the ability to stand up and be a man or be a woman in a situation that is constantly trying to put pressure on you to be politically correct or socially acceptable. Now, I know this one because in a lot of interviews, I've been interviewed on, you know, lots of TV shows and broadcasts that went internationally and things like that. And in those broadcasts, they will ask me the toughest questions possible, the most incendiary, the most politically incorrect. And they want to put me on the spot, make me look like, well, because I believe a certain thing, then I'm a bigot or I'm a this or I'm a that. And they're intentionally trying to get me to back down off of what the Bible says. And I've been asked questions like, is Jesus really the only way to heaven? By Jewish reporters. Are people who don't know Jesus really going to hell? Is that what the Bible says? I've been asked that question many, many times. Does God really say homosexuality and sex out of marriage is wrong? Does God really say that? Do you believe that? Now, when I'm in those interviews, the old Larry King interviews or anything like that, my human nature wants to be liked, just like yours does. My human nature wants to compromise, wants to divert, wants to punt, wants to not tell the truth. And I've actually heard guys being asked those questions on TV and they'll say, well, I just leave that up to God. There's a word for that, cop out. The guy knows exactly what God says, and you don't say, I leave it up to God, when you know what God has said clearly in his word. Well, I just leave that up to God. Or everybody has to make up their own mind. That's a nice, politically correct, people-pleasing cop-out. You're not standing for the truth. In those moments when I could say something that would be politically correct and wouldn't offend, wouldn't ruffle feathers, but it would be a lie, I remember these truths. And in that pressure moment, I do three things. First, I remember what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And I'll think about him on the cross with his blood being shed for me and going, he didn't deny me. He didn't deny me. He didn't back down for me. He died for my sins. I owe him my life. He created me. He saved me. He forgave me. He's taken me to heaven. I'm not going to deny him. I remember that, what Jesus did for me. I remember that one day I'm going to give an account to God. And in that point, God's going to say, and what did you say in that interview? What did you say in that conversation at work? What did you say to your friend at school? And I remember, as Pastor Brad mentioned, integrity is more important than popularity. And I'm not going to give up my integrity. And so I tell him the truth, and I let the chips fall. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in other words, you're a people pleaser, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of him when I come in glory in the end of the Father and of the holy angels. Is Jesus going to be ashamed of you because you were ashamed of him? This is a people pleaser problem. This is an approval addiction. This is a short-term thinking issue. Finally, one more thing I need to remember. Write this down. I remember this when I'm under pressure. God shaped me to be me. God shaped me to be me, not somebody else. God doesn't want me to be you. God doesn't want you to be somebody else. When you get to heaven, God isn't going to say, hey, why weren't you more like your brother? Thank God. Why weren't you more like your dad, your mother, you know, whatever. When you get to heaven, God will say, wait a minute, I made you to be you. When you get to heaven, God is not going to say, were you popular? God is not going to say, did you make everybody happy? God is not going to say, did you make sure you didn't ruffle any feathers? He's not going to say, did you become what others want you to be? No, he's going to say, did you become who I made you to be? Or did you go off and live your life for what your daddy wanted or what somebody else wanted? Did you fulfill the purpose I created you for? The Bible says this, don't let the world around you squeeze you in its own mold. I love this in the Phillips translation. Don't let the world squeeze you into its old mold. That's people pleasing. But let God remold you from within. That's learning these truths that set you free. Let God remold your mind from within so you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good. Circle the phrase, the plan of God for you is good. God's purpose for your life is good. Other people's purpose for your life is not good. God didn't put you on earth to fulfill the purpose of somebody else. God put you on earth to fulfill the plan of God for you. The plan of God for you is good. It meets all your demands and moves toward the goal of true maturity. Now, these six truths will set you free. And if you let them burn into your memory, they will guide you and they will keep you from being controlled by crazy makers who want to push you into their mold. Will you have integrity? Will you have courage? Will you stand up and be who God made you to be and say what you know is the right thing? So let's review these truths. Even God can't please everybody. I need to remember that one. I don't need anybody's approval in order to be happy. It's a choice. What seems important now, what you think of me, isn't really going to matter in the long term. When I get to heaven, what you thought of me isn't going to matter. Number four, I only have to please one person. That makes life pretty simple. Number five, one day I'll give an account of the life I lived. And number six, God shaped me to be me, not somebody else. Now, there's only one person in the universe who knows you completely, who accepts you unconditionally, and who knows the purpose you were created for, Jesus Christ. So you need to get to know him and make sure that his opinion of you matters more than anybody else. That is an anti-crazy maker move. Let's bow our heads. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just say it in your mind. Dear God, you know how I often let other people's approval or disapproval control my life. And I've done a lot of dumb things that I really didn't want to do. And I've said yes when I wanted to say no. And I've said no to things that you wanted me to say yes to. And I'm sorry. Help me to remember these truths, that I can't please everybody and I don't need to please everybody. Help me to remember that what seems important is only temporary and I only have to please one person. Help me to remember that one day I'm going to give an account of my life to you. And what's going to matter is that you shaped me to be me, not to be somebody else. Give me the courage to say no when no is the right thing. And give me the courage to say yes when yes is the right thing. And I want to begin by today saying yes to you. Yes, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Thank you that you know me completely and love me unconditionally. Jesus Christ, come in and save me. Change me. Change my mind. I don't want to be molded and squeezed into a mold by the world. I want to be exactly who I was made to be by you. And from this day forward, I want to grow in making you what matters most to me. You're number one in my life from this day forward. No other gods, no idols. You're number one. Your attitude matters most. And help me have the courage to do the right thing. In your name I pray. Amen. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. The circumstances of last year have left many people searching for the peace and assurance you and I know can only be found in God's Word. This means the need for the hope of Christ is greater than ever. That's why I'm excited to share that we have a $50,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give today. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
Today, when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's study kit called You Make Me Crazy. This six-session video study will help you bring sanity to your relationships so you can do more than just coexist and survive. You can thrive. Today is the last day to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. Go to PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. This opportunity is only available to the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.